This morning, dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to your word, and I thank you, dear God, for our study on the Christian home. I pray you'll give us ears to hear. Help us, dear God, to order our homes aright. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our study on the Christian home, and I want to talk about season, the golden moments of life. You know, life does have its golden moments, does it not? And we need to seize those things. Now, the oldest psalm in the book of Psalms is the 90th psalm, and it speaks of a man living 70 years. God's word goes on to say, if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Now, what that's referring to is that how swiftly we go through life. And when we go through life rather quickly, we need to stop and seize those golden moments that come our way. Now, about the time God gave Moses the 90th psalm to pen, he also gave the words in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, turn with me there, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 9. Notice what it says. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now notice what it says in verse 7. And thou shalt diligently, or thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Now, there's an amusing story about this teacher came into a first grade classroom, and she announced on the first day of school, she says, I am an atheist. And she said, I just want to know how many of you children out there are atheists too. And as she raised her hand, everybody in the classroom raised their hand except for one little girl. And so she decided, I'm going to make fun of that little girl. And she pointed her out and said, hey, she says, so what are you if you're not an atheist? She says, I'm a Christian. And she said, well, how'd you become a Christian? She said, my mom and dad raised me up that way, and they taught me about Jesus, and I put my faith in him. And she says, so you're a Christian because your mom and dad raised you that way. She says, that's right. And she says, well, what if your mom and dad were morons and they raised you up that way? She says, well, then I'd be like you. Amen. Now, we need the help of heaven in our homes. God wants us to take care of our homes, and he gives us some instructions for doing so in these verses out of Deuteronomy. Now, the book of Deuteronomy is part of what is called the Pentateuch. Pentateuch, the word penta means what? Five, tuk means what? Books, and therefore it's called the Pentateuch, and it's written in reference to the first five books of the Bible. That would be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Now, someone may say that when you read the book of Deuteronomy, it's just a repetition of other things that we find in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. However, that's not the case. It is more than that. Never imagine that there is one redundant word in all of Scripture. If there is something that is repeated, it is to get our attention, and so we would do what God would have us do. Now, the Bible declares in Deuteronomy 6:2 that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. You know, I think that's lacking today, even in churches. I mean, it is amazing to me what so-called believers are up to. It's like they have no fear of God. I mean, I was out knocking doors yesterday, and we ran across this woman who got thrown out of a Baptist church. Thank God for that. Because she was smoking dope. And she said, that hurt me right here. And I'm thinking, as we walked away, I told Mike, I said, we'd throw her out for a lot less than that. Now, she'd be welcome to come, but she's not welcome to join. But I mean, you have no fear of God if all you do is sit around and smoke weed. I mean, what's wrong with you? You know, you got other believers that are living in sin. I mean, we take marriage lightly. We take family lightly. We got people that are in church. The husband doesn't work and the wife provides for the home. That is absolutely insane. And yet you want to tell me how much you love Jesus and how good of a Christian you are. I ain't buying what you're selling. You open up some refrigerators at a Christian home, what do you think you're going to find there? You're going to find alcohol there. You got Christians who are smoking and vaping and doing all kinds of ungodly things, going to ungodly places, and half the time they can't come to church on Sunday morning because they're out partying on Saturday night. There's something wrong with that. Where's the fear of God? Verse 3 goes on, and it says this, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee. Now notice, he's talking about obedience here, is he not? And if one obeys what he has written, what does it say? It will go well with thee. You know, there's sometimes I walk away from some people who claim they're believers and I think their life is nothing but a living hell. And you know why it is? They're not living by faith. They are disregarding the commands of God and then they wonder why their life is all messed up. Talked to a missionary yesterday. A family used to go to church where he went. And they called him up. Their son, he believed, was demon-possessed, uttering all kinds of stuff. And so he goes there, and he's talking to the mom and says, well, what's going on? What is this kid doing? Well, he was listening to the wrong kind of music. That's what she did say. Finally got it out of her. And then she says, you know what happened to him a week ago? And I took him to the witch doctor. And then you wonder why your kids are all messed up. And he says, you know what? You know better than that. You used to be in church. What in the world are you doing? It's not going to go well for you when you violate the scriptures. You know, so many marriages are kaput. Our people just coexist. They're two believers, but they don't have the proper relationship. Wives are in rebellion. Husbands aren't given respect. They don't love their wives as Christ loved the church. And they simply coexist under the same roof. Well, God bless you. Why can't you enjoy marriage? Why do you have to endure marriage? God didn't yoke you up with somebody to make you miserable. But if you both fulfill your God-given role, you can have a decent marriage. And guess what? You'll be happy in it. I've never met a happy woman who overrides her husband. Never have. They're miserable. God made it that way. Because not all is well with them because they're not obedient. We wonder, why isn't God blessing us? Well, could it be we're not obeying him? You know, doesn't James tell us, he said, well, that's Old Testament. Well, let's go for the new. Doesn't James tell us if we're doers of the word, we'll be blessed in our deed? That's New Testament, by the way. You know, Christians have a lot of knowledge of Scripture. There's nobody here that's been in this church for a year or more that doesn't have a lot of knowledge of Scripture. Our problem isn't knowledge. Our problem is doing. We know what we're supposed to do, yet we don't do it. Now, the secret to God's blessing, however, is not knowledge. It is obedience. God said we are to hear and do these things. He said, "Hear therefore, O Israel," and so we need to hear and heed God's word. Then in verse 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 6, we read these. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be" where? "In thine heart." Doesn't say head, does it? It says in the heart. "And thou shalt teach them" what? "Diligently." Does that mean sporadically? Does that mean every now and then? It means what? A constant thing we're supposed to be doing, and we are supposed to teach them to what? Our children. In other words, every generation must be responsible for teaching the truth of God to the next generation. You know, here's a funny thing. It's not really funny, it's sad. We're so engrossed in making sure our children get an education. Right? We make sure they're up. We make sure they're in school. We make sure that they get good grades. But how is it with spiritual matters? Are we really diligently teaching them the Word of God? Are we? Now, what do you think should have priority? I believe so. You know, if the only education your kid ever had was a Bible education, they'd be all right. Matter of fact, they'd be better than all right. They don't need all that other extra junk. Well, you know, stop with your wells. You say, "I didn't say anything." I know what you're thinking. Listen. You know, where were all the schools starting? In the Bible. Where did the kids get educated? In the home. We lost that. We need to get back to the Bible, don't we? We need to get back to parents teaching their children. You know, it's a shame, even in public schools, the teachers will tell you they spend most of their time with the little ones, taking them to the bathroom, changing their diapers. They're 5 and 6 years old. They don't know how to tie their shoe. They don't know their ABCs. Something's wrong here. There are certain things of God and in God's word that we are to place in the hearts and minds of children in their formative years of their lives so that they can be shaped into faithful believers when they are older. Let me ask you, is a Bible principle lodged in their heart more important than them knowing what 2 + 2 means? I tend to think so. As we think about children not receiving these things, just think about what kind of adults they turn into. You don't have to think real hard. Just looking around the neighborhood, you figure it out. Or maybe you just need to look at your own kids. You didn't lodge those truths into their heart. Now look how they turned out. Right. Well, preacher, you know what? I know better than God does. Okay, that's what your attitude was. And look what you got. You know, the problem isn't so much with children. The problem is with adults, with parents. They have dropped the ball. Well, you know, how is it with your grandchildren? Oh, what do we get? Yay!
It's about time.
Yeah! Praise the Lord. How many of you are going to be hungry by the time service is over? I know I am. All right. It's good stuff. But let's you know, I'll be honest. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't have that upbringing. I wish I did, but I didn't. But here's the thing. My parents taught me some things. You know, my dad taught me hard work. My dad and my mom taught me to be honest. Some of you need to learn a little bit of honesty. You know, my dad and my mom, they would tell me who to hang around with, who not to hang around with. Now, did I listen? No. Do I wish I did? Yeah. You know, they taught me a lot of good things. You know, they taught me some social etiquette. You know, they didn't raise me up like Romulus and Remus by wolves. When I went to a place, they expected me to behave properly. They expected me to speak properly. They taught me not to swear and cuss. You know, I'm telling you, some parents are so neglectful, they don't even teach the kids please or thank you. Or when someone addresses them, that they speak to them. How about that? Hi. And then you wonder why you have no friends. You only have to do that a couple times and people are going to ignore you. Amen. What about some social graces? You know, what about sitting down for a meal together? You know, we weren't free feeders. We didn't eat whatever, whenever we wanted to. Mom would prepare a meal and you sat down and you ate it. And you ate whatever was served. Or you went hungry. You didn't get something special. That's right. Whatever happened to those days? Oh, preacher, that's just old-fashioned. No, that was just standard.
That's right. Amen.
And look what we got when we replaced it with something better. You know, here's the funny thing. You realize that every man at one time was a little boy? They were raised up by somebody. And you know, if they had neglectful parents, you know what? That influences them today. That's why some are just weird. That's right. I could say other words, but I'm choosing that one. They're different. They're not normal. And that's sad, isn't it? You know, every little girl at one time was brought up in a home. And you know what? If we had the right kind of parents, we'd have been right ourselves. But here's the good news. You don't have to remain a weirdo. You can change. There is a Christ in you. And he can make those changes that are necessary so that you can be normal once again.
Amen.
You don't have to be obnoxious. You don't have to be rude. And you know what? You already know it. You just choose to be that way. But you know what? If you grew up in a good, godly home, you're going to be all right. Now think about that. You grow up in a godly home, you know what? You're going to be a good friend. Correct? You're going to be growing up one day, and you're going to be a good spouse. Now, if you're not a good spouse, you can change that. Stop blaming it on your upbringing. But you can be a good spouse, can't you? You know what? When those little ones are raised up in your home, you're rearing up somebody else's best friend, somebody else's spouse. It's important that we do the job and do it right. I believe one time we got a card from Carissa for something, thanking us that we reared the son we did. Is that right, Carissa? Yeah. Amen. She got her a good husband. What happened to those other two? I don't know. But somebody had clicked in the family. Now, isn't that good? She got her a good friend. She got a good husband. That didn't happen by accident. Right. And now because of that, we got some decent grandkids that give me a hard time. But I'm telling you, we need to seize those golden moments. We need to make much of the time we have with them. What do you do when your grandchildren are around? Is it just playtime? Or do you think maybe we ought to instruct them in a little bit of things? Maybe talk to them a little bit about God. You take them for a walk at night, you look up to the starry heaven, why don't you tell them? You know, God placed those stars there. And you know what? Everyone, He knows everybody by name, and He knows you by name as well. And He sees all that we're doing. You could instruct them. But instead, let's just play little goofy games. I'm not against goofy games. But we could spend more time teaching them and instructing them in the things of the Lord, could we not? You know, we can look at children oftentimes in this day and age, and we call it, juvenile delinquency. But you know why they're juvenile delinquents? Because parents have been delinquent. That's the root cause. Now, God spells out some of these golden moments that we're supposed to seize. The Word of God says, when thou sittest in thine house. When thou what? Sittest in thy house. You know, I think all of us need an awakening in our homes. I'm not talking about our houses. I'm talking about making our houses the homes they ought to be. Right. A house is a place. It's nothing more than a structure. But a home, that's where family abides. You know, it's sad. And I getting older by the day. But you know what? When I read the Word of God today, I learn more than I did when I was a young parent. And you know what? I discover things that I should have put into my life and into my family's home now far more than I did when I was younger. But you know what? I can be a godly grandparent. I can still influence my kids when they talk to me. I don't have to avoid the subject of God and of what the Bible says. And if they don't like it, they can hang up on me. I don't care. My relationship with the Lord and my doing what is right by Him is far more important than my relationship with them. Well. Yeah. We need an awakening. You know, home is to be the center of development for children. Do I need to repeat that? We need to reconsider the golden moments we have in our homes. You know, when we sit together. You know, how about having that meal together? Right? How many remember doing that when you were young? That was normal. Everybody did it. Boy, isn't that a good time to talk, sit around, see what people are up to, what they've been doing all day? Having a little bit of time of communication one with another? I think so. Take advantage of that. You know, we ought to be talking to our children. It's nice to sit down and share conversations with them. Have they ever heard your testimony? Have they ever heard you talk about answered prayer? Have they ever heard anything about God coming from your lips? And I'm talking about on a pretty steady basis. Not just once. They need to know that God is good. And by the way, if you're sitting around complaining and murmuring, you're just talking about both sides of your mouth. They ain't going to believe how good God is when you're complaining all the time. You know, he has given us a language, hasn't he? Should we not use it to communicate? Should we not tell our children how much we love them and care for them? You know, I'll never forget, I was 24 years old before I ever heard my mom and dad ever tell me they loved me. That's why I'm so whacked out today. I hold that against them. Now, did I know they did? Sure I did. Did they ever speak it? No. I had to tell them first. I got born again and God changed my life and I told them I loved them. And that's when I heard the first time that they loved me. Now those grandkids, they've heard me tell them I love them, haven't I? Yeah, I even... We don't pay attention to you, Papa. I even try to hug the little one. She runs away all the time. Get away from me now! I try. But you know what? They need to hear that, don't they? Sure they do. Every child should feel in the home that home is the safest, sweetest place on earth to them.
Amen.
That's right. You know, I can, when my mom was alive and Connie and I would go down there visit, I'm still 60-some years old. But it always made me feel at home. I always felt safe there. Yeah. Why? Because my dad was there. Yeah. Why? Because my mom was there. Now, my dad's nearly 90 years old. What's he going to do? I don't know, but I felt safe there. He was there. I grew up that way. He protected the family. He did what? He didn't let mama protect the family. He was in charge. He defended the home. He defended the family. Well, what am I supposed to do? He never did that. He was a man. You know what happens so often? Instead of sitting down and having a meal together, we're always in a hurry, aren't we? Everything's vying for our time. And here's the thing. We got more stuff to alleviate all time consumption. I mean, we got microwave ovens. And if that ain't fast enough, we got those other things. I forgot what they are, but they can cook a full turkey in like 20 minutes, frozen. Speedy cookers or something like that. I mean, we got microwave ovens, we got washers and dryers, where you just throw it in and then you can do something else. And we got all kinds of instruments. You know what ladies do? You don't have to start a fire to do cook your meals. You just turn on a stove. But you know what? What happens is we get so busy, we got all this open time, and we become so busy, so hurried, we still don't have time for what we need to make important. Well, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to take the kid here. I got to take him there. Why? What should have your priority? You know, it's sometimes husbands and wives are so busy they only pass through like ships in the night. Can I say this? Sure I can. I'm the preacher. Nobody wants a marriage like that. Nobody. We attempt to do so many things with so little time. We're always rushed. We have time for no one, not even ourselves. Crazy, isn't it? Then the second golden moment in life is when thou walkest by the way. Now, that's referring to responsibilities we have on a daily basis. Things that God has given us to do. Now, when we walk by the way, now we must recognize that's a golden moment that God has given us to share. And especially with children. Now, there are many things that a mom does during the day, right? You know, it's a wonderful thing, though, when that mom allows her children to partake in that. You know, here's a funny thing. It's not funny. It's sad. You got a woman, gets married, she doesn't even know how to cook. Can't even cook! Wonder how that happened. Now, if you want a tasty meal by them, you better call for a reservation at a restaurant. Even if you didn't, your mom didn't teach you how to cook, get a cookbook. How hard can it be? At least stuff the freezer with frozen burritos and some Hot Pockets. No, I'm only kidding. Yeah, ew. But why can't you cook? You got married. If you can't cook, you're a stay-at-home wife. There's something wrong with you. You're lazy. Oh, you don't want to hear that, do you? Well, let's hear it again. There's something wrong with that, isn't there? You know what happened? Mama didn't teach him nothing. Didn't teach him how to be a good wife. Here's another thing. What if your home is dirty? Huh? What's your home's dirty? Your mama didn't bring you up right. Should have taught you how to dust, how to mop, how to sweep, how to clean a toilet. How to clean the stove, the refrigerator. And if you're a little boy and you grew up and you don't know how to cut grass, how to trim a bush, how to throw a coat of paint on a fence, your daddy didn't bring you up right either. He don't teach you how to work. Well, preacher, my kid, you know, he's 20-some years old. He's been living off of me for the last 25 years, and he won't get a job. Well, why won't he? Why should he, should I ask? You feed him, you clothe him, he drives your car, you put gas in it, you pay his insurance. What in the world does he need a job for? You got your own welfare recipient right under your home. You know, when I turned 18, I had three choices. 18. My dad didn't care. He says, son, when you graduate, he says, you ain't living here no more. I'm like, huh? He says, you enlist, you enroll in college, and when you back then, when you had a D average, college, they wouldn't accept you. They only took like the top 10% of your class. Not everybody was entitled to go. And by the way, it would have been a waste anyways. Enroll, enlist, or be employed. And you know who the big employers were in our neighborhood or in our city? Factories. And I thought to myself, well, I'm too stupid to go to college. Not really. I just didn't have interest. You know, when you're 14, you know everything. What in the world do you need more school for? Correct? How many been there? All right. I'm not the only one. Then, so that was out of it. Then to be employed in a factory for 40-some years, making toilets for Kohler, or plumbing fixtures, or plastic engineering, I was like, oh, no, you know. I could have gone to jail, but that wasn't a viable option either. I didn't want to spend the rest of my life in jail. So I enlisted. I needed to get out of town. But you know what? I wasn't staying at home. Some of you people can't deal with that. It's pretty simple. You just pack the bags and you put it on the curb. Say, son, I told you. This is what's going to happen. Bye. Hope it all works out well for you. But you see, if you haven't trained them right, you haven't set the example that they should have, it's no wonder they continue to live in your basement. Amen. And here's a funny thing. Your parents didn't raise you that way. That generation wouldn't allow it. But it's such a golden moment. Yeah, okay. Keep going on. But I'm telling you, we ought to invest our times in a way. You know, when I was growing up, I remember, to this day, when it snowed, and I wasn't even in kindergarten, we were out there shoveling. We could barely walk. I mean, we did nothing. I mean, I might have shoveled a snowball every time I did something. And I'm thinking, this is a waste. My dad's clearing off the driveway, and I'm here doing this little bit. But you know what he was teaching me? He was teaching me. You work. Life ain't a free ride. You're going to do your part in this family. Man, I remember pushing a lawnmower, and I could barely push the thing. But we'd be out there putting everything we had in it. What happened to those days? Was there anything wrong with that? I think maybe that there might have been. There was nothing wrong with that. You know, one of the things that really kind of gets me is I know people, like in the neighborhood, not my neighborhood, but where I used to live. And you know what? They had grown kids. It would snow. And you know who's out there shoveling? The mom. And I'm thinking, where's your brat? Downstairs in the basement. Some of them are grown adults. And mom's out there. And I'm thinking, pretty sad, isn't it? Some of you know from experience what I'm talking about. Because that's what happened at your house. All right, we'll stop right there. But that's a golden moment, a teaching moment.